you could go into your room that was suffocated with fear, and you could leave a room 2.5 hours later that was exhilarating in hope.
Welcome to Psalms for the Spirit, a podcast about spirituality and resilience through the lens of the biblical Psalms. I'm Kieran Young-Wimberly, a Presbyterian minister and spiritual director from the US, but living on the north coast of Ireland. I've been working closely with the Psalms for about a decade now, arranging, recording, performing Psalms set to Celtic melodies, along with my dear friends, the McGrath family from Dungannon, County Tyrone. And through the years, I've heard how the Psalms help people through times of trouble, through times when the mountains seem to be falling into the sea, times when the world is in upheaval, either on a personal level or on a collective level. In this podcast, I'm inviting friends and respected teachers to explore with me how the Psalms lift our spirits in difficult times, how they lead us toward healing and hope, and about the connection between spirituality and resilience. Today's guest is Denise Bradley, an expert in trauma theory, particularly as it applies to people on the margins of society. Denise has extensive training in the field of trauma and has spent decades helping victims of violence find healing and accompanying them as they process their experience and eventually begin to find a way forward. I know Denise from her current work with Cori Mila, in which she supports marginalized groups, particularly refugee and asylum seekers in Northern Ireland. I had the privilege of seeing Denise in her element as she created a safe, warm, welcoming space for people who had gone through recent traumas, and the joy that emerged during her time with them was palpable. I wanted to learn more from Denise about how the theory of trauma relates to the Psalms, and in this conversation we talk about using the Psalms for grounding and comfort in times of fear or traumatic stress, about finding inner safety that helps us move forward even when we're under threat, about how the Psalms express all three stages of trauma healing, and about how hope is stronger than fear. So whatever it is that brought you here, I'm glad you're with us.
All who dwell in the shelter, the refuge of God Most High, you will rest in the shadow.
I just had a swim this morning, did you?
No, I didn't. And I didn't get a swim over the weekend. So kind of now, as I'm looking out, Kieran, I'm thinking, oh, I just so need a swim. So I might go down. I think if the sea was right beside myself, I would be definitely in most mornings.
I still remember that glorious swim we had last year.
And the waves were just so strong.
I know, they were massive. What a great introduction to sea swimming.
It certainly was quite exhilarating.
How is your spirit today?
I think, Karen, I just love the depth of the self-awareness even that this check-in brings. I think it really encouraged me and inspired me to search probably much deeper, probably into the core of my being, into the center. And I suppose for me, when I think of spirit, I think of breath, and probably had to just listen that little bit deeper and feel my breath just a little bit more intentionally. So I'm glad to say my spirit as well.
I'm glad to hear that.
My physical body is probably a little tired, a little weary at the moment. It's been a long year and really just probably a prolonged season of that continuous adapting and managing probably changes. So kind of find sometimes we're just a little bit adrift. But and I think also emotionally probably quite tired in terms of work and managing family and just managing my own well-being. But yes, I think deep within my spirit as well, and I'm hopeful and I suppose content moving into the next chapter and what it has for each of us and our world.
Thank you.
Could you say a little bit about your journey and how you came to be who you are today? And also, how did the Psalms come into your journey?
It was so very interesting even thinking about how this journey has brought me to the work that I do. And asking, you know, how did I come to the work? And to be really honest with you, I really don't know, Carrie. And I kind of sense in a way that the work often came and found me, because I've never sat and intentionally thought, oh, I'd like to do this or I'd like to go there. It really has been a journey for me of happenings and openings. We were just post Good Friday Agreement in Northern Ireland, and there was multiple adversaries going on around me in my own home, but also for others. So I kind of think that that opening found me. For those who know me, I don't shrink from challenge, and and often love to find gaps. And how can we fill those gaps? What can we do? What can we bring to? So that's, I guess, then when I started to study more into trauma counseling. A door opened up into working with survivors of domestic and sexual violence. And at this stage, I probably find that when you enter into a world where I suppose there is such violence, particularly within a home, it definitely has changed how I move in the world. It changes how I view the world, and I now see fragility and trauma that I wouldn't have been aware of. And the work was what is hard work. It's takes a lot from you. It drains a lot from you as a person. So there was this much needed awareness that as practitioners, we needed to sustain and nourish our own selves more. So not only being alongside trauma and fragmentation at such damaging and serious ways, but also the impact on the worker. So I got a strong interest in that. And that's, again, then I went and studied some more. So you asked me about my experience of the Psalms. I kind of was thinking about this, and I suppose my first recollection of the Psalms brings me back to times when I was at Sunday school. So being a young girl and going to Sunday school, and I had the most wonderful, generous Sunday school teacher. His name was Henry Scott. It was a tiny little Sunday school. It was a brethren Sunday school that I attended in the afternoon. And he always set us at this challenge of reciting scripture and chapters of scripture. And quite often that was the Psalms. So you kind of, so I do love this challenge. So yeah, I could learn and recite these verses of scripture. And that really has stayed with me throughout my life. And I think into adulthood, even now, reciting scripture, particularly Psalms, particular verses that mean something to me, that bring me comfort. And I guess grounding. There is something very powerful about being able to meditate and recite, and the rhythms and the movement and the nourishment that that really can deepen into one's being. And there's one in particular, I guess, that has been very profound, and that was, is quite famous, I would imagine, is Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 was a time when my family was faced with quite a considerable adversity. And we had a very rational fear and threat in our world. And I remember finding that I could not find peace. I could not find that ease of worry. And I remember my mother saying to me, you need to use Psalm 91. And I kind of thought, what does she mean that I need to use
it?
Use it. I think what she had meant was that it'll bring you comfort.
Almost like a tool, like you'd use a tool.
Absolutely. So I had never really paid it much attention at that time. I'd heard bits and pieces of it and heard it read. But whenever I did open up and thinking about the words, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it was this resting that really spoke to my spirit, because I was so tired at that time, Kieran. I was tired worrying, tired stressing about something that might happen, but again, that might never. which it's that accumulation of stress in our world that something traumatic does not need to happen. It's just the sheer depletion and sheer exhaustion that fear can bring. And that was what was happening. I was frightened. And whenever you were able to read through the psalm, it talks about refuge, you know, finding refuge. And this was so beautiful for me because my visual of a refuge was the refuges that we housed women and children in when the home was so unsafe that they could no longer stay there. And effectively, I was in a position where my home was being told it was no longer safe and potentially we might have to leave. And to know that I had this huge God, it just took me from my very inward problem and was able to open it up into something that was so vast and so big and really did bring me comfort.
Really?
Yeah, so much comfort and a stillness and a peace that kind of said, look, this verse isn't going to magically stop things from happening.
It's not like a magical charm or something like that.
No, but what it did do was, and I believe it really supported my holistic being. It helped me integrate the bits of me that were disconnected. Spiritual trauma is really, you know, something when you lose that hope, you lose that meaning. So it was very powerful. And still to this day, if anybody calls to my door, I have a rock, a little rock or a little stone. And I have the first two verses of Psalm 91 on the stone. And it serves as a reminder, Kieran, for me, that not only was it such a difficult time, but also that it's a reminder for gratitude, for giving thanks that we have been able to live in the same home for so many years and raise our family. I look at that time now, not with fear or, you know, sadness or lament, but a time of great learning and huge resilience, as you said, resilience.
Right.
And that stone means so much. I do occasionally have to refill in the words, you know, because the rain, it is varnished.
They get faded away. That's a wonderful reminder to have just on your doorstep.
So that was Psalm 91 for me.
When you were feeling unsafe in your home, you were able to find a sense of inner safety through the Psalms. How does that actually work for people who don't feel physically safe? What is the difference between knowing there may be a threat to your safety and knowing within yourself that you are safe in that inner way? Does it actually make you feel more safe even though you're still under threat in some way?
Yeah, and it is. It's a very interesting question. But again, it's coming back into thinking about what is fear. And it does come down to when we are threatened as a species. And we do have, humanity is designed to survive. We're innately designed. And when we are threatened with frightening events, we have that subconscious mechanism within us that arouses our sympathetic nervous system to go into fight, or freeze, or friend or flop. because being a sexual and domestic and sexual violence practitioner for so many years, we work with five Fs. When our bodies are activated and we do not find ways to soothe or nourish that or process it, that takes us out of what was identified by Dan Siegel many, many years ago in its original form, was the window of tolerance. So when we're no longer able to be in that safe, stable, comfortable place, we're taken out of this, we're activated. Mm-hmm. And if we are continuously there, heightened in fear, worry, stressed, that then begins to recalibrate our nervous systems. It activates us, it switches us from being stable to being very heightened. And over a period of time, we then see the world as a fearful, frightening place. And I was very self-aware of this. I did not want that to be the case. And because we absorb fear through our senses, our nervous systems in the lower part of our brain absorbs the fear through sight, smell, taste, touch, you know, what we hear. And particularly it was what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. So I needed an entry point into my world that I was hearing comfort. Mm-hmm. I was hearing protection. I was hearing words that were counteracting the negative, the fear.
The other words.
Yeah. And that is how I believe then that because I meditated on these words, these very powerful, powerful words. Mm. I had a tool, as my mother said, you use it.
Use the thumb.
So I was using this to hear protection, that actually I could visualize, and I have a huge imagination. So I was visualizing this huge protection that it was okay. We were safe. And that in itself then releases good chemicals that stops the negative chemicals and prevents that rush of adrenaline that flies around our body and does all the stuff and then dumps the cortisol, which causes so much harm.
That helps to understand it actually on that.
A lot of fear happens and we have no real control over it. It's a subconscious activation. So our prefrontal cortex, the front part of our brain, that rational, logical part of the brain, often doesn't get time to rationalize what's happening. And no amount of rationalizing is going to stop the fear response happening. So why meditating on scripture or meditating on beautiful words or music, my goodness, music is very powerful because it soothes the brain.
Right. Yeah. So even when there's not a change in the actual situation, you can find tools like this to calm the body down so that fear isn't what drives you, I guess. Is that kind of what happens? Yeah. It's not that the threat was lifted, but you were able to find peace within that situation and see a bigger picture maybe. And you were using your imagination. It was very empowering in some ways for you to have that piece of scripture that you could meditate, that was what you were focusing your mind on. And then you had this freedom to imagine something different than what was being fed to you by these threatening messages or words.
Yeah, and that can help to stabilize one and help them to find a place within their window, that place of stability. And then what happens whenever, as human beings, when we are able then to operate in a more stable capacity, a stable place, we're then able to draw in an other support. So where we were maybe isolating ourselves out of fear of, we were then able to maybe find trusted friends to say, this is the situation. And then we were able to find, yes, maybe we had to make changes, but they were then done in a rational, logical way that we just built into our way of life. Mm-hmm. And it became no longer so fearfully activating, but part of our routine,
okay,
our rhythm,
So not acting out of that heightened state, that fearful state, but to be in a stable place where you're feeling a bit more calm inside of yourself and then able to make rational choices and decisions to facilitate a better daily life or routine for yourself.
A routine, which is so very important because if we live in that very heightened place. So if you imagine your window and you're taken out of that window, the body will only be able to exist in that state for a short period of time, a matter of days, until it will then drop. And the body then becomes emotionally, physically, it becomes like a pendulum on a clock. It just swings from heightened to hypo, from angry to sad, from fearful to exhausted. And we can't find a nice, stable, comfortable place. And that's the important part of resourcing and resilience, is being able to then find ways of using tools and resources and knowledge and spaces and connections so that we can manage our world in a more stable, peaceful way.
Listen to me and do not ignore me. My heart, it is troubled and I am distraught. The words that have hurt me, they cut like a knife. Oh, I'm filled with sorrow. There is no way out. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly far away to the home that I love. I would fly to the place where my heart is at rest, in the shelter far from the tempest and storm.
If you don't mind explaining to us, what is the window of tolerance? Because I thought that was a really helpful way of thinking about it.
Yeah, so I guess whenever we are faced with and thinking about, you know, our current situation over the last year, in particular with the global pandemic, we have all been placed under additional stress and demands. There's been a real sense of what we talked about of adaption, you know, adapting and fear. Mm-hmm. And our world has become more stressful. And we have been somewhat isolated and disconnected from each other, albeit we're maybe talking on Zooms or we're trying our best to use the social media platforms. But it has its toll, it has its cost on us. And what I have found is, and particularly in supporting with groups and supporting myself and other practitioners, is that we're having to work harder at nourishing ourselves. We're having to work harder at keeping ourselves well, keeping ourselves effectively sustained and healthy. And I suppose the window of tolerance is a model that was introduced to me many, many years ago when I began my training and work. But it was such a wonderful trauma model. And I loved how then I was able to adapt this and bring that theoretical model into practice. And effectively, it talks about whenever we are met with something that overwhelms the physical being, or we have chronic, relentless or accumulated stress or chronic stress, that we are taken out of this place of stability, this place of comfort. And we then start to operate in a very heightened way. If we do not nourish that or support it, it can last into weeks, it can last into months, and it can effectively last into decades. And some people, it's for a lifetime, because we can't unwrite a traumatic event. Traumatic events will always be, we can't take them away. Chronic stress will always be there. It's always in our bodies. The key is learning how to process it and how to manage it. And if we think of the word, what is trauma? Well, trauma is a wound, and psychological trauma is a wounding of the nervous system. And I suppose we're very good at nourishing and nurturing our physical wounds. If we have a cut hand or a broken leg, we will wash it, we will dress it, we will take medication. Sometimes we need some physio, but generally most people will tend and sustain and nourish those physical wounds. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for emotional or stress, they're all wounds to our nervous system.
But they're not as obvious.
No, we do not give ourselves enough permission to nourish those wounds. Mm. And that, if left untreated and left to continue, becomes even more toxic. And as I would always have described to people, if your physical wound is becoming infected, you usually need a stronger antibiotic to clean up.
Right. Yeah.
So equally during COVID, what we have seen is we have seen emotional and psychological wounds, wounds of the nervous system that have already been there. But because of COVID and the restrictions and maybe the reductions on being able to access our support systems or being able to use mechanisms that we often use to ameliorate, or as I say, cover up what's really going on, many of us are now no longer in our windows.
In the window of tolerance.
In that window of tolerance. And what that means is we find it even more difficult to tolerate ourselves. We're struggling. We're seeing mental health rates really rise, but we can no longer tolerate others. Because if we can't tolerate our own selves, we can't tolerate others.
Other people.
Other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hence why you see the isolation, why people, when they're unwell or struggling, that they're more likely to be isolated. So this model was developed really to try and help people get a sense of when they were outside in a heightened state, but also in a hypo, whenever they were exhausted, low motivated, just losing hope. Right. And I think that's so important because that's your spiritual.
That is, yeah, I do think that connects. And it connects a lot with the Psalms too. I mean, there's a lot of that type of language in the Psalms of why is my soul cast down?
And you know, I was reading just as you say that, because, you know, when you read through the Psalms, it talks about this so much. You know, you have the crying. So Psalm 77, I have, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. I was in distress. I sought the Lord. And he talks about stretching out on tiring hands, but he could not be comforted.
Right.
So that's that trauma.
That is. And that's that heightened state you're talking about, where it's fear and distress and isolation as well.
And then I'm sure if we go on further, you know, we can find parts where are you, God? You're silent. You don't hear me. So there's a feeling of hopelessness of I have collapsed. My nervous system has collapsed out of the window.
Yeah.
I'm down there. And where is my help? And when I see people in this state, that really worries me. Because at least when we're angry and shouting, where are you? And, you know, I'm distressed. But we need to be so much more tending to those who are down in that low place.
Hello.
Yeah, because they're losing hope.
Yeah.
They're losing meaning. Mm-hmm. Their spiritual self, their spiritual part of their being is fragmented. It's disconnected.
Yeah. So how do we tend to that? How do you tend to that in what you do, or what wisdom do you have around that?
Yeah, well, when we spoke about the use of meditating on scripture, I think it's what we hear. Again, I think it's so important. Everybody's individual, Kieran, and it's what they can tolerate. And that's why I love the window of tolerance. It's because each person can tolerate and responds to so many different things. But usually we need to think of the five senses. That's so important.
Okay.
You know, what people see, hence why nature is such an instant, beautiful resource or
healing agent.
Yeah. For me during COVID, this has been really reinforced and very affirming in my own world is the importance of connecting with nature.
It seems to be recognized on a bigger scale, doesn't it?
It's becoming to, which is amazing. You know, even we were talking about at the beginning, our sea swimming, you know, being able to get out into the waves has been just such a, when I have felt in that lower place, that low motivation, that tired, that I know when I step into that water, I will.
Your body responds. It doesn't have any choice.
No. Very quickly. It's beautiful, plus to be in the sea. So what we see, what we feel, and how we move in the world is so, so very important.
You're listening to Psalms for the Spirit, a podcast about spirituality and resilience through the lens of the biblical Psalms. I wanted to let you know about a few exciting events coming up in the autumn that you can book now. The first is an online mini retreat on the 18th of September with Paul Hutchinson, therapist, mediator, and storyteller who was featured in episode 11. We'll be exploring the theme Sing a New Song through Paul's amazing group facilitation, and there will be some live singing across the internet as we look at how a new song can emerge in our lives despite the barriers that might seem to be in front of us. We'd love to have you there, so mark your calendars and register for the event now through the link in the episode notes. And for those of you who have been longing for an in-person connection and who happen to live in Northern Ireland, I'd like to invite you to a weekend retreat at the Corrymeela Residential Centre on the 19th to 21st of November. The theme of the weekend will be Refresh Your Spirit. If you've been to Corrymeela, you'll know that the physical location alone is enough to refresh your spirit, but we'll also be creating space for quiet reflection and sharing, community building, and rest. I'd love to see you there in person. Imagine that. Spaces are limited, so please book your place as soon as possible. You can find more information in episode notes. Once again, I'm so glad you're with us.
We cannot grow. We cannot bring in resilience until we have stability and feel safe. Mm-hmm. So much of the work at marginalization, I suppose, would be working within that window to engage marginalized groups, to start to experience a sense of stability and safety together with themselves, but also with others, to reduce the fear of self, fear of others, fear of what might happen. Stress and trauma robs people of a lot. Because if you think about it, if you just live in survival, you no longer enjoy all the other things that once brought you pleasure. So people often disconnect from those things. So we've had lovely experiences over the last year, even on Zoom, in working with people who suddenly rediscovered things that really bring them comfort and bring them support and healing.
What are some of those things?
There was one woman in particular, she had forgotten how much, even though she did have and she has a disability, that she could still love music and still dance in her chair.
Oh, right.
You know, and the power of music for her she had really forgotten that once she could put on particular songs that meant a lot to her, about what that would activate in her stored body, because we store trauma, it's locked into our physical bodies, it's not our minds, it's our bodies. So what that unlocked was actually good memories.
Right.
And so she had lots of fun. We had others who journaled, and we focused a lot on gratitude. Gratitude is you know, hope is the only emotion that is stronger than fear. So hope and gratitude are very closely interlinked. So we would look at gratitude a lot. And we had one guy who loved this gratitude journal. It was so very powerful for him. And he got a lot from that in terms of even trying to switch thought processes also.
You know, I have never heard that hope is stronger than fear. I think that is really powerful. And it means a lot to hear that from you because of what you studied and then also the people that you've worked with. And you believe that to be true, that hope is stronger than fear.
I do, Karen. And simply, again, my lived experience as a practitioner, I have bore witness to many very, very violent situations and situations where people have been betrayed by those who, you know, in the most horrendous ways. And yet, when you're alongside someone and you are able to journey and start to nourish and tend and establish safety within particularly a group setting, when you could see the release of good chemicals and you see the release of the power of humanity and shared humanity together, you could see that that hope was so, so visibly. My lived experience was you could go into your room that was suffocated with fear and you could leave a room 2.5 hours later that was exhilarating in hope and joy. So, so absolutely, I believe
it's like literally lifted.
Lifted.
You could sense that.
Yeah. When you go into your room, when you're working with survivors of abuse, the fear, it's nearly tangible. You can nearly touch it. And yet we're taught how to supposedly put into different mechanisms to protect oneself. It always finds ways of seeping in at some level. But there's the release of joy and hope is exhilarating. And even the Psalms, you know, as we talk about this, there's so many of the Psalms then that you can see that they begin with such distress or such crying out. But at the end, there's always that hope, you know.
Yeah, so often there is that turn toward hope.
Cares on the God who sustains you. You'll never be shaken though the storm rages on. The wicked will fade, but you'll not be forsaken. You rest in the shelter from the tempest and storm.
As we're talking about this, I'm curious about, you mentioned some of the Psalms that cry out in distress, and those are important to connect to when you're in that state because it helps you to feel heard. But then it's also important not to stay there, I guess.
No, absolutely, Karen. Absolutely. And I think what I'm talking about is, you know, when I use the example of the Psalm that I used, it was because there was nothing else or no one else was bringing me that comfort.
Yeah.
But it was the meditating on those words that brought stability. So Judith Herman is a wonderful, she's an American, as you know, Harvard professor. And way back in the day, we had much guidance from her. And she talks about a three-stage model, which I've never veered away from because there's no point in reinventing wheels. And it's amazing. So she talks about establishing safety. Mm-hmm. So the first step is to establish that sense of stability that we talked about, knowing our window, knowing what keeps us and when we are out of it, and establishing ways. But once we've established that stability, it's so very important. She talks about sharing the narrative or remembrance and mourning. So that's the processing.
Is that the second one?
That's the second stage. Yes, remembrance and mourning. And we need to process what we've been through. We'll need to process at some stage COVID and all that has happened. And by processing it in a healthy way from a place of stability and responding, we are then able to connect in with our own resources, our own resilience. And we will know then how to tend and nourish ourselves for the best of ourselves. So, and that also talks about sharing our story. So we're able to share some language because trauma and chronic stress really do rob us of language because it does impact our ability to do memory. So finding this space in the second stage around sharing is so, so very vital and so beautiful. And that's the bit of the work that has been so, when you see the hope, you see people sharing their story, sharing their culture, people who've maybe been displaced, sharing their religion, sharing their gender, who I am, and being able to celebrate this is so very beautiful and so very healing. And then she talks about the last stage, the third stage, then as reconnection. And again, trauma isolates, stress will isolate, it fragments. So being able to reconnect, not just with oneself, but others, with your friends, with your family, reconnect with nature is so, so very important for us. I see that that's what we're doing over the last few months. We have been robbed of through life and the busyness and the demands that we're now being allowed to begin. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I love thinking of that as a reconnection. There's a human longing to connect with nature if we allow that space for that to happen, and that's part of the healing process. So many times with learning about trauma that safety needs to be established. So when we express our emotions really honestly, and in the Psalms, for example, we express deep, hard emotions, that needs to be done to establish safety, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And if that's skipped over, then just going straight to gratitude just doesn't ring true. It's a hollow exercise. So there needs to be safety first, and then safety before God, or, you know, in that spiritual sense, knowing that what you're going through is honored and valued, and then your story is worth being heard. And that's the second stage there, that your story can be heard and you can hear other stories. And then it sounds like the third stage is really more about the embracing gratitude and hope. And that doesn't happen all at once.
It definitely is a process, and it has to be a process. And I think that is why we have used the window, because the window really helps us with that establishing safety phase. Mm-hmm. And that also gives us not just a sense of stability and comfort, but it also gives us the resources and the tools that we need to move into the next stage, which is maybe starting to share a little about ourselves, or share, as you talk about, some of your story without being re-traumatized.
Yeah.
And hence why we don't put people over their story until or ever.
Yeah.
Until maybe a place that someone feels themselves that they wish to share their story.
Yes.
And it could be just sharing some emotions, or sharing some words, or sharing music. When I have been working with various people, my goodness, music just seems to be that medium, that modality that provides a real universal sharing. So it's not just of actual words or language, it's of sharing of many things, of sharing food. Let's sit down and have a meal and just share laughter, share love, share tears if we need to cry together. So there's a lot of sharing, but not until we're safe can we begin to share those various pieces. And reconnecting for me is then when we've moved into resilience. Yeah. So resilience comes a little bit later, and why many people can't quite grasp it, Kieran, because they haven't quite got through the process to think, okay, if something else, you know, happens, I now have the tools. They're still just a little bit nervous of various things, and they just need to stay in their window. And as we talk about then, as they're more confident and they begin to take steps for positive stress. So that's whenever they can reconnect to, so maybe connect with a new job, or learn a new skill, or learn a new language. So we're with people at the moment who can't really reconnect at all yet, because they've been so through much trauma. So we're establishing safety and helping them share so that they can eventually find new ways to reconnect.
In the shadow,
I'm noticing that we could connect all three of those stages to different psalms, because there are some psalms that are maybe in the first stage of just expressing the fear and the anxiety. And then there are psalms that are storytelling. This is what I've been through. This is my story. And then there are psalms that are more about the gratitude. You know, there are all of those within the psalms. And maybe that's also why some of the psalms don't work for us at different times in our lives. They help us through those three stages that you just clarified, and they help us to get through the fear toward the hope. And I guess ultimately they express that hope is stronger than fear.
Hope is absolutely stronger than fear. And, you know, I love that word hope. I just love it. It's my, I love it.
That's so encouraging that you love that word, because with all the people that you've seen and heard from over the years, you could have taken a different path with that. But if your overriding feeling is hope, that's hopeful. It means a lot. It means a lot. Thank you so much, Denise.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen.
You've been listening to Psalms for the Spirit, produced by myself, Karen Young Wimberly, with music by Celtic Psalms. On my website, karenyoungwimberly.com, you'll find links to what I'm up to and opportunities to connect. I wanted to share one piece of exciting news, which is that Celtic Psalms is releasing a new album in the coming months, so if you would like to pre-order, you can do that through episode notes. Your pre-order will mean a lot to us as we come to the finish line of producing this album. In episode notes, you'll also find a link to how you could contribute to the production of these podcasts. And a big thank you to those who already have. Till next time, may our spirits find healing and hope in the days ahead.
Come, Spirit, come, rescue us, we pray. Shield us and save us, and come down to stay.